This audio interview with Bob Griffiths was recorded on 18 September 2018 in Cowra by Nikkei Australia's Mayu Kanamori and Masako Fukui. This interview was recorded for the Cowra Voices geolocative storytelling app, created in 2019 and launched to coincide with the 75th anniversary of the Cowra breakout. For more information, please refer to the overview in this archive.
My name is Bob Griffiths. I'm the chairman of the Cowra Japanese Garden and Cultural Centre. My background is that I came from Sydney back in 1984 with my family, did a tree change, as they call it, and went into business in Cowra. And not long after that, I joined the Cowra Rotary Club, and a whole new world of Japan-Australia relationships opened up before me. Firstly, the Cowra Rotary Club has a sister Rotary Club in Inazawa in Nagoya, and we've had three or four visits to Japan between the clubs, reciprocal visits. And in another project that Rotary is heavily involved in is the Seike Exchange Program, which is a student exchange between Cowra High School and Seike High School. It's been going for 49 continuous years. It was started in 1970 by Mr. Ab Oliver, the mayor of Cowra at the time, and a Rotarian. The Cowra Rotary Club has a long history of involvement in the Cowra Seike Student Exchange Program. Seike is a high school in Kichijoji in Tokyo, and it is associated with a university complex. It's quite a famous school in Tokyo. Indeed, Prime Minister Abe is an old boy from Seike High School. So we've had a long relationship there. And Rotary's involvement is that Rotary, through Ab Oliver, the then mayor of Cowra in 1970, started that program. And ever since that day, a Rotarian has been the chairman of the exchange committee. And following my year as Rotary president in 1995, Mr. Oliver invited me to take on the role as chairman of that committee. And 25 years later, I'm still there. My other involvement following that, as part of that, is that Ab Oliver also became involved with a Japanese choir by the name of Kor Farmer. And that's a choir made up of students and graduates of the Tokyo University of Agriculture. And Hiroshi Masumoto started that choir in way back in late 1960s. And in 1977, came to Cowra as part of a goodwill tour of New Zealand and Australia, and they performed concerts in New Zealand. In those days, they used to do Melbourne, Adelaide, but always Cowra, and Cowra was their hometown. And it was as a result of the history that Cowra has with Japan through the starting through the breakout, of course, and then the war cemetery, and then the Japanese garden. So Kor Farmer became a very important part of the program, and I've been involved in organising the concerts and managing Kor Farmer in Cowra for the past 22 or 3 years. So as a result of my connection with the Seike Exchange Program, I was then exposed to the role of looking after Kor Farmer, and that's now been a period of close on 25 years. It's a magnificent choir made up of graduates and students of the Tokyo University of Agriculture. They tour Australia and New Zealand every 2 years on a goodwill and friendship tour. And only this week they were in Cowra in September on their 21st visit to Cowra, spanning a period of 42 years. And there's still a handful of the original choir, including, of course, Hiroshi Masumoto, and a handful of, as I say, a handful of those that have been coming right from the very start. At our concert last week, we had members of the audience who hosted the choir on the very first visit 42 years ago. And most of the students, or the choir members, are billeted out with Cowra families, And many of them have been with the same families for decades, which is just lovely to see. The concert was just marvellous. They're truly, truly a great choir. The choir spend 3 nights in Cowra, and on their last morning they gather at the war cemeteries and pay their respects in both cemeteries. They lay wreaths and they gather and they sing a choral tribute in each of the cemeteries, both the Japanese and the Australian. And there is nothing more beautiful than a lovely sunny morning, 9 o'clock in the morning, with just the birds overhead, no music, just a beautiful 30-man male voice choir. There were tears everywhere as we waved goodbye to them. They got on their bus and back to Tokyo.
No, unless you have something you want to add, maybe we should talk about the
garden. Well, the only thing with the Seike Exchange Program is now in its 49th continuous year, and next year we will be celebrating the 50th anniversary of that wonderful program. I've been fortunate enough to go to Japan for the 30th anniversary celebrations and the 40th anniversary celebrations, and I expect to be going in 2020 for the 50th anniversary celebrations.
Just going back to because you've been appointed to speak about the gardens, so could we ask you about how you got involved in the Japanese?
I was invited to the Japanese Garden and Cultural Centre Limited is a community-owned company. It's a non-profit organisation, and it's made up of a board of directors that consists of representatives of Cowra Tourism, the Cowra Council, the New South Wales Government, the Japanese Garden Maintenance Foundation, which is a fund set up by the Tokyo Metropolitan Government, and three community-based members, generally businessmen or people in the community that have been involved in Japanese affairs. And I was invited about 5 years ago to come on the board, given my business background in town, but also my connection in various Japanese activities. So here I am, and a short while later, Mr. Kibler, who was then the chairman and has been a long-standing chairman of the committee, stood down a couple of years ago through ill health. He's still on the board, but stood down as chairman, and I assumed that role.
Can you just go back a little bit, Ben, to tell us how the garden came to be, perhaps Don Kibler's role in that?
Well, the Cowra Japanese Garden was an idea that was formed amongst a group of members of Cowra Tourism back in the very early 1970s. And those people certainly included Don Kibler, Ab Oliver, who was mayor of Cowra just prior to that, and a solid group of people that had been involved in both the setting up of the war cemetery and were really keen to try and do something to develop and build on that special relationship we have with Japan. And there was a hard working group of people led by Don Kibler and Ab and Gordon Austin and quite a lot of people that were involved in those early days. And it took a long time. It took several years of planning before the first sod was turned and before the community was convinced that it was a good idea. It was 1977, in fact, when the first stage was opened. So it was a period of probably 4 or 5 years from when the idea was first conceived. And at the time, to be honest, no one dreamt that it would ever end up where it has today, being the pinnacle, the number one point of reconciliation and example, if I should say, the best example you could see in Australia, as far as I'm concerned, of reconciliation between Australia and Japan. It tied in the whole story that we have in Japan of the breakout, the war cemetery, the exchange program, the Core Farmer Choir and the garden, just that total package of peace and reconciliation. And there's some wonderful examples in the garden of the reconciliation aspect. For example, there's an enormous amount of effort put into building the lovely waterfalls and whatever in the garden. Now, the rock, the limestone rock that was brought in to build those waterfalls is not natural for this particular location. All the other rocks, these magnificent boulders and rocks, are exactly as they were as nature put them. But they had to bring in to make the artificial waterfalls. So they brought the limestone in from a property nearby. And that limestone was donated, the family that owned that property was donated, the Dunhill family. Their relative who lived on that property was one of the Australian soldiers who perished on the infamous Sandakan Death March, as it's known, when thousands of Australian prisoners perished at the hands, of course, of the Japanese soldiers. And yet that family saw fit in the 1980s, in fact, 1970s, so soon, relatively after the war, as an act of reconciliation, to donate the limestone to build those waterfalls in a Japanese garden. And that's pretty special. The other important aspect of the garden when it comes to peace and reconciliation was the love and respect that Ken Nakajima put into the design of the garden. Ken Nakajima was the landscape architect who designed and was commissioned to build this garden. When the committee in Cowra decided to go ahead, they sought advice from the ambassador in Canberra, who recommended three Japanese landscape gardenings names. And Ken Nakajima's name and company was selected. Ken came out and was shown the sites that we were looking at and was blown away, to be frank, when he saw that hill with those lovely boulders. He had never seen rocks, anything like that. He instantly knew that that's where he had to build his garden, and he set about to do that. Ken is quite famous. He has built gardens all around the world, Montreal, Moscow, the world-famous Japanese gardens. But he said he would never, ever build a better garden than the one at Cowra. And we believe him and we know it's right because when he died in 2000, his family brought his ashes out here and they're in the garden at the base of Yokoseki, that big flat rock at the top of the hill. And he's there looking out over his pride and joy. Ken Nakajima selected the site in Cowra because of the particular significance of the rocks, and in particular, the two rocks that stand out. When you stand at any point in the garden and look back to the hill, you'll see there's two magnificent rocks. Whenever you stand in the garden, you'll see those two very significant rocks. The large pointy one, Shugaseki, is a deity rock that Ken Nakajima saw as the rock that holds the garden together. And he stated that when he saw it, it was as if that rock, which had been there for thousands of years, was just waiting for someone to come and build a garden. And it had to be built there. The other rock, the big flat rock, Yogaseki, is the guardian deity where the gods descended from their heaven. And that rock too, Ken said, is the place where the Australian and Japanese deceased soldiers can also descend from the heaven. So it's a very special place. And as I said earlier, when Ken Nakajima died, his family brought his ashes out here, and they're at the base of that Yogaseki, that guardian deity.
Beautiful. Thank you. What's your favourite place then in the garden? And if you wouldn't mind answering, but not answering my question, but saying my favourite place is, or the place I like to go to, or whatever.
The place I love to go to in the garden always is the top of the mountain, standing between the two deity rocks, looking out over the beautiful expanse of the garden layout, the mountain stream going down to the mountain lake, and then the river going down to the sea, and all the rolling hills in between, and then out beyond, over the tops of the pine trees, the extended view, the beautiful view of the Kowrah-Lachlan Valley, the borrowed view, as Ken Nakajima would call it. My favourite spot by a long shot.
What do you do there? What do you do there?
You just sit. When I go there, I just sit and contemplate and just look. And I think of all the meaning that Ken saw in that garden. Yeah, those magnificent gum trees, hundreds of years old. Ken insisted when he built the garden the gum tree should stay. There are no gum trees in Japanese gardens overseas, but Ken Nakajima insisted they should stay because he saw those gum trees as representing the spirits of the Australian soldiers and the magnificent rocks as representing the spirits of the Japanese soldiers. So when you sit there and you look out over that lawn, those beautiful landscape hills with the water running down the water waterfall, the spring seemingly coming out of nowhere, creating life, rebirth. That's how Ken saw it, and I just love to sit up there and enjoy that. And I love talking to people that I run into up there as well. Whenever I see people up there, I'll sit and chat with them and tell them the story and point out where Ken Nakajima's ashes lay. And that really adds to the moment for those people.
It's lovely, thank you. It's really nice. We have to go there.
Yeah. You should go there.
Oh, we will, but we want to take some sound recordings.
Sure.
The seasons, because that's a really special thing for Japanese. Is there a sense of the seasons here?
The seasons are very special and very meaningful, of course, in Japan. Sakura time is the rebirth, the new season. And just looking out on the garden at this time of year, I anxiously await the first blossoms. And as we await our Sakura Matsuri next weekend, I notice the blossoms are just poking out just on time. So with all being well, we'll have a great show next Saturday. But the seasons here are much different to Japan, of course. We have much harsher summers. That's the main significance. So it is a little more difficult, the gardening challenge here. But nonetheless, we have beautiful colours all year round. We have the lovely pink blossoms of spring. But we have some magnificent greens and reds throughout the autumn as well. And even winter, whilst there's not many flowers about, some azaleas and a few others, there's always something different. It changes all the time. And the magnificent light in the garden, you know, it's beautifully positioned. The concept of the mountain, the river, the mountain stream, the mountain lake, the river, the sea, it flows from east to west, just as exactly as it does in Japan from Mount Fuji out to the west. It's exactly a representation of, and meant to be, a representation of the Japanese landscape. It's a true strolling Japanese garden. You won't find red bridges, you won't find bright red flowers or bright blue flowers. Everything is nice and sedate as Ken Nakajima planned it, and left some pretty clear instructions on how we were to maintain. And in fact, his words were maintain, not change.
I think, you know, when you first started talking about the seasons, you said the sakura, which we understood.
Can
you just say sakura or the cherry blossom?
Our most important season, the one we look forward to, is springtime, which is our sakura, cherry blossom time. And we hold an annual cherry blossom festival, Sakura Matsuri. It is very popular, and we are very anxious every year to make sure, well, hopefully, that the blossoms arrive on time. Otherwise, there'll be a lot of disappointed people. But generally speaking, we do. And one of the challenges of gardening is that the seasons are changing and blossoms are not always coming as you expect them.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you for that.
There's something very important I wanted to ask. So people come from all over the world, experience the Japanese gardens. What are some things that you want people to take away, you know, that signifies or is symbolic of this Japan-Australia relationship that you've talked about?
The main thing that I would like to see visitors to the garden take away, and particularly those visitors from overseas, from Japan, is a sense of understanding the extent of the true spirit of reconciliation that does exist in Cowra. And Cowra, from what I can see, leads Australia in that area. Before I came to Cowra, to be honest, I hadn't thought much of it, hadn't been exposed to it. But since coming here, I've been exposed to the whole range of activities. I've made many, many friends in all aspects, both in business, through the embassy, the consulates, through touring school groups, through Inazawa Rotary Club. The list goes on and on of all the contacts that you make. And at the end of the day, in my time in Cowra, we've made numerous Japanese friends, and we have some wonderful friendships and relationships. In my four trips to Japan, we've enjoyed wonderful homestay accommodation with members of Inazawa Rotary Club. We've become like grandparents to some of their children, and likewise we've hosted them back here. Similarly with Core Farmer Choir, we again renew our friendships every 2 years, exchange greetings throughout. It's just like one continuous family, and there's lots of tears every time we say goodbye. The student exchange program, many of the former students who are now involved in running the program in Japan come regularly to Cowra and have stayed in our home. The friendships are just wonderful, and the appreciation that is shown by the visitors, their understanding of the reconciliation efforts of the people of Cowra, and their joy that they show and their thanks that they show for it is really rewarding.
At the beginning you said something about, because you came here, you came from Sydney, from Cowra. Why do you think Cowra people do this? Like, what's your explanation for why a little country town like Cowra has made this effort?
It's very hard to explain how we got to the point we are today. My feeling is that the most important aspect was probably the actions of the members of the Cowra RSL, who, when tending their graves of their fallen comrades in the Australian War Cemetery, looked over the fence, so to speak, and said, "These guys were just soldiers, just like us. Their graves need to be tended and looked after. They were just doing their job." And as a result of their actions in starting to maintain those graves, that in time developed into the establishment of the war cemetery, which is the only Japanese war cemetery in the world. There are no others. And that's a very significant point. And the Cowra community, whilst probably not all on board in the early days, I would think not, were indeed eventually came around to realise that, hey, you feel pretty good when you do this. You get this return love and respect, and the more and more we became exposed to all those young people visiting us. So we've had 49 different students come to live in our town for 12 months over the last 50 years. We've had these 40 members of the choir come every 2 years and stay in our homes. All that rubs off. We all become part of that program, whether we try to or not. We become involved in it. Anyone that goes to the Cowra High School spends time with a Japanese student, have done for the last 50 years. All those things. And those kids go out and play in the local sporting teams, so they become involved. They make other friendships outside of the school. So we have many of our host families who have gone back to Japan to attend weddings from students that they hosted as their host daughter or son when they were spending 12 months living with them in Australia. So there's beautiful stories like that. And you can't help but get involved. And, you know, in one of my visits overseas to Japan, I saw examples of it on the other side. So it's the feeling is mutual, and I'm getting a bit tongue tied, but you just can't help getting involved in and caught up in the emotion of it, because it is very special. And anybody that went to the farewell, the Core Farmers farewell the other day, where they were singing in that cemetery, there were tears everywhere. You know, it was just special.
Yeah, you mentioned that how moving that was. I find the whole Cowra story very moving, but you're the first person that we've interviewed that used the word moving.
Okay. Yeah.
I just find the gardens even moving.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if you could tell me a little bit about how you find this. Is it moving for you?
Oh, certainly is, yeah. It's moving, it's very moving for me, more because of the close personal contact that my wife and I have with many people in Core Pharma, in Seike, in particular those, and in Inazawa. We've stayed in each other's homes in each of those situations, and we regularly, you know, get together, socialise whenever we're in each other's country. So it's more the personal side, I guess, in my case. But having said that, I still, you know, get the little tear in the eye when I watch Core Pharma stand and kneel. One by one, every choir member went to each of those five Australian soldiers' graves. Every one of them kneeled and every one of them placed a flower, you know. If you don't get a tear watching that, boy, you're hard, I reckon. you know, I can remember going a few years ago to Joetsu City, where there was an Australian prisoner of war camp in Joetsu City. So Australian prisoners captured by the Japanese. And there were some pretty horrific things happened in that prison camp, and lots of Australians perished because in the cold winter they had no shoes and clothing and all that sort of thing. At the end of the war, there was war crimes trials, and there were five guards, I think, executed as a result of war crimes because of their treatment, or might have been more, might have been six, seven, eight guards executed. And I was over there not long after a new peace park had been opened in Joetsu City, and there was a delegation of Australian ex-prisoners had gone over for the opening of this peace park and museum. And here I saw a photograph of an Australian ex-prisoner embracing the widow of one of the executed guards. And I said, wow, that's reconciliation on her part, on the Japanese person's lady's part. She'd lost her husband and here she is embracing an Australian prisoner. It was the opposite to what we see out here. And that's when the penny dropped that, hey, this applies both ways. It's not the victors and the, you know, it's both ways.
Do you think you would have come to these realisations if you hadn't come to Carol?
It's most likely that I'd still be working away in Sydney, oblivious to the whole Japan story, other than what I'd pick up on the newspapers. Highly unlikely that I would have known very much about the breakout or, in fact, the extent of Kaura's involvement in reconciliation. I certainly wouldn't have known, and I'm sure not many people in Sydney would know, that there's been an exchange program going for 50 years. It's the longest-running exchange program between Australia and Japan. No one in Sydney would know that. That's sad, but they wouldn't.
So how do you think Kaura has changed as a result of all this peace and reconciliation initiatives?
Well, there's no doubt that it's been of great benefit to Kaura in many ways. The obvious one, of course, is the harsh reality of economics, the fact that we, you know, it brings people to Kaura as in a tourism sense. But I don't see that as the main thing. The main thing that I see is the gains that humanity has made from this connection. You know, the story, the peace, the reconciliation story. And, you know, when the Korfama Choir were here last week and they make their speech at the end of the concert, it's all about peace and reconciliation and about making sure those terrible events never happen again. That's what it's all about. And when you see people like that giving up, you know, 40 years of their life, they've been doing these tours at their own expense to promote that ideal, you soon realise that that's what it's all about. It's not about the economic benefit to the town. Sure, the garden's great. It's a great attraction in its own right. It's a beautiful garden and lots of Australian tourists come here without knowing the full background. But by the time they leave, they know it, which is great. But they don't all know when they arrive. They come because they're told there's a lovely garden. But, you know, quite often they come thinking that the garden was perhaps where the prison was or those sorts of misconceptions, but they often come with a little bit of info. Our job is to make sure they go away with a lot, and that's what we try and do.
Which is what, like, I think I asked this question before, but I'm going to ask again. Come into the garden, what do you want people to take away?
Well, I want them to take away a sense of, two things. One is I want them to take away a little bit of Japan. I want them to say...
Actually, would you mind saying...
When they come into the garden.
Yeah, when... When people come into the garden, I'd like them to go away taking a little bit of Japan with them. I want them to know that, hey, we've got one of the best Japanese gardens in the world. Better than many in Japan, I might say. We have got a beautiful Japanese garden and I'd like people to understand and appreciate that. But I'd also like them to take away the message that this garden demonstrates. It is the symbol in Kaura of peace and reconciliation. You know, we've got the war cemetery and we've got the prison site, the memorial sites. But the thing that ties it all together and brings people from all over Australia and around the world is the Japanese garden.
Is there like a memory for you that's very special that might resonate in, you know...
For the garden.
Yeah. Or the garden, or just Kaura, peace and reconciliation. Please. Something for you that tells a story or... you know, an event, some moment?
One of the joys I have here is in Cowra when Cor Farmer visit and the farewell at the cemetery. Not only do they go into the Australian and Japanese war cemeteries and sing, but they then go off into the general cemetery and they go and visit 6 or 8 graves of everybody that's ever helped them in the 40-odd years they've been in Cowra. The likes of Ab Oliver, the mayor, Don Thomas, Dr. Warren Wiley, who with his wife Jean hosted the first concerts here, Marion Starr, who lost her husband during the Second World War, who they've had great friendship over the years and was one of their organisers and promoters. They never forget anybody. And that, to me, I find amazing and to me is really special. It's just a personal thing, though. It's,
yeah, that's really good.
Okay, that's great. Thank you so much.